Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Plenty to go over today in our good, bad, and just crazy martinis. The first one, Jim, is the omnibus bill, and there's many dimensions here, so we're actually turning the omnibus martini into an omnibus martini. And right now you have very different ideas about what to do with this spending bill. $1.1 trillion, gajillions in earmarks, and that's just a rough estimate. That's not the official tally on that. But here's Harry Reid talking about what a great job the Appropriations Committee did.
I think that the people on the Appropriations Committee work very, very hard. I think they have a very good piece of legislation, and I think we're going to move forward with that.
John McCain has a slightly different analysis.
The American people said just 42 days ago, enough. Are we tone deaf? Are we stricken with amnesia? What is going on here?
Good pregnant pauses there by McCain. And if that wasn't going far enough, here's South Carolina Senator Jim DeMint, who wants the entire nearly 2,000-page bill read into the record word for word.
We're going to insist on it. I think people need to know what's in the bill. One of the best ways to do it is just to get the clerk to read it.
So we demand this the good martini because, A, we could actually have this whole thing read into the record, which would be fun. But also, Republicans clearly standing strong here. And you got to think that based on the midterm elections, like John McCain said, the American people are going to love their stand on this.
Yeah, this is at the very least we are seeing some spine from them and that they will not nod in assent to absolutely everything. You said there are a lot of different thoughts of what to do with the omnibus, Greg. And I think, you know, there are a lot of people, some people saying, burn it, stab it, blow it up, ship it overseas. You know, there's all kinds of stuff we can do with it. Anything except passing it. I'm kind of struck by, even by the standards of this abysmal, horrible Democrat-run Congress, right before Christmas, trying to pass a 2,000-page omnibus bill chock full of pork. You could argue that it's either even worse than normal or just somehow appropriate and fitting. By the way, we cannot let this topic pass without one last chance to say, way to go, Nevada. Way to go. They worked hard on it. Yeah. It's hard work to collate that many earmarks. Jeez Louise. You know, I mean, that doesn't make it good. You know, bad people work hard, too. And it doesn't necessarily make their product any better. I think I do kind of wish that the American people just kind of recognize that I'm hearing plenty of Republicans saying this is ridiculous. We cannot do this. This is with the American people. Have you heard any inkling of any objection from Democrats at all, Greg?
No.
And so this is the Democrats' way of doing business, that if you don't like wasteful spending and you don't like pork, the Republican Party is the only game in town. And even though Republicans may let us down from time to time and they may disappoint us, and my understanding is that Bennett of Utah will be leaving and will be voting for it on the way out. And so don't let the door hit you in the keister on the way out, Senator Bennett.
Yeah, I think Voinovich, too, I think, is about to do the same thing.
Swell. Boy, we're really going to miss those guys, aren't we, Greg?
Absolutely.
But in light of that, like, there's nobody in the Democratic Party who apparently sees that much of a problem with this. So,
well, no, you got moderates like Mary Landrieu, and you think, oh, maybe she would vote, you know, against this. This is kind of reckless, and she is a relatively moderate senator as far as Democrats go. She's at the top of the earmark list. So surprise, surprise, right after the Louisiana Purchase, she's getting about $4 and change billion in earmarks if this goes through. So shockingly, I think she's going to vote for it.
Yeah, you know, was she the one who said she was going to vote loudly, whichever way she voted? So at the very least, it'll be an aye, you know, with a deafening voice. No, it's terrible. Speaking of deafening voices, I think it's – on the one hand, I support Jim DeMint and his efforts to stop this, slow it down, derail it. On the other hand, I do feel bad for the poor clerks who are just going to be, you know, spending all of Christmas, you know, sucking on lozenges and drinking tea and trying to rest up their voices after, you know, reading for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah, this is
it's worthwhile, but my guess is that I think a sheer principled stand will be more effective than these, you know, kind of procedural techniques.
I think it's a good test for the American people. You know, like we said before, they're in support of the Republicans in general. But if this does lead to a temporary government shutdown, it'll be interesting to see if they're willing to allow that to go forward. They blanched at that in 1995. We'll see if they're a little bit stronger in the stomach than they were 15 years ago.
Yeah, particularly over earmarks being the line in the sand.
Exactly. On to the second martini now, the bad martini. And Time Magazine, once again, releasing its Person of the Year. And Jim, I feel like you and I are especially well-equipped to speak on this subject, since a few years ago we were both named Time Person of the Year when, was it the American consumer or anyone who uses the internet or something was the Person of the Year. So as winners of that distinguished award, the idea that the founder of Facebook would win in a year when Time, which is normally focused on politics, basically ignoring the monumental political shift over the past 2 years and dissing the Tea Party. I don't know if it was because there's maybe not one particular face with it or what have you, but it just seems weird that that entire movement was completely ignored, at least in the winter.
Yeah, Greg, I note that, you know, one, I consider this the bad martini because it's such a clear snub to the Tea Parties. And blogged a bit about this earlier today. A lot of you know, readers saying, why do you care about this? Why you know, Time is irrelevant to our lives. What does it matter? Well, one, this used to have a certain amount of prestige to it. And if not prestige to it, a certain indisputable recognition of what is news and what is important. And you know, they got themselves in a great deal of controversy and hot water when they used to pick people like Hitler or Stalin or the Ayatollah Khomeini. Mm-hmm. And they would emphasize, this is not hooray for these people. It's just simply saying that if you look over the past year, which one figure had the single biggest impact on the world we live in? I went through down the list, and I think, you know, that you could kind of tell in 2001 they pulled their punches. I think it was pretty obvious that Osama bin Laden had an, you know, it's hard to argue anyone had a bigger impact on the world's events that year. They picked a more inspiring and you know, heroic choice, Rudy Giuliani, and I don't really begrudge them that, but you kind of see this watering down of it. And now to the point, it just almost seems like a random famous figure. I mean, Bernanke was picked a year after he had made most of his changes and big moves to deal with the economic crisis. They picked Putin in a year that was, no one disputed Putin is a very important, powerful figure, but you know, nothing he'd done particularly that year. And then this year, I mean, most people got onto Facebook 2-3 years ago. This is, you know, kind of been almost the year of Twitter, I think. And so there's based on the Time schedule, the inventors of Twitter can expect to be named Time's Man of the Year in 2012 or 2013 at this rate. So it dilutes a brand name that, even though it was never a conservative institution, it was always one that was fairly well respected across the political spectrum. And it simply, you know, bit by bit isn't to the day point where most people are scoffing today. So thus endeth my rant, Greg. Sorry. I hope I didn't put you asleep with my...
No, I agree completely. I think it diminishes our own award from a few years ago when we won Time Person
of the Year. Yeah, everybody's saying that these days. So,
anyway, on to the third martini now. And, you know, we're looking forward to the Republican primaries, trying to determine who will be the nominee.
You are. I just got finished covering the 2010 campaign.
A little bit of rest.
On. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Nobody's officially gotten into the race yet, so you got a little bit of time to sleep. I don't think anybody's going to do it over Christmas. But already, we've got three scheduled debates by the middle of next year, I believe, which, given the fact that Iowa is going to be considerably later in 2012 than it was in 2008, that leaves, about 8 months between the first debate and the first actual votes being cast here. I'm sure Ron Paul's looking forward to all this and some other folks who might not have the best shot of actually winning the nomination. But is anything actually accomplished at a presidential debate in May or June, the year before the election?
I find this to be disturbing on many different levels. First of all, Fox News has declared one, CNN has declared one, and as I understand, NBC News has declared one. Now, I'd be curious about when this is going to be the first one to be held in Simi Valley at the Reagan Library. I'll be curious whether that is televised on NBC or on MSNBC, because if the first Republican presidential debate of this cycle is sponsored by MSNBC, then, Greg, we should just give up now. I just don't think that's a particularly good idea. You might as well pick Olbermann as the moderator. Just have him yell at all of the Republican candidates for 2 hours or so.
You're all the worst person in the world. Good night.
Precisely. And you know, at least that'd be a short one. The next bizarre factor in this is idea that starting early helps someone. I'm going to take you back roughly about 4 years ago. It's beginning of 2007. I have just, I'm scheduled to come back from Turkey in March. I'm beginning the campaign spot, or what was then called the Hillary spot for NRO. And Tom Vilsack, the then governor of Iowa, announces his bid and ends his bid before I come back from Turkey in a roughly 1 month window. Not that I'm really bitter that I didn't get a chance to cover the Vilsack presidential campaign. Not that I think this was a massive event, but an early start doesn't necessarily do you any good. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to gain any momentum or you know, early endorsements or anything that particularly matters. And you said, you know, you don't think anything happened around Christmas. Actually, January of 2007 was when Hillary and Barack Obama and a whole bunch of these other folks jumped in. So January of 2011, as absurdly early as it seems, you may see Republicans tossing their hat in the ring. It's something I think is a not particularly wise. I think the candidates wear out their welcome. I think it just burns through resources and doesn't really do much other than keep me overworked and keep people like Politico excited.
Let the exploratory committees begin. Jim, enjoy the holidays, because that's exactly what's going to happen once the new year hits us. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
On that cheery note, Greg, looking forward to it. Yay.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.